I'm an addict. My name's Brennan.
Hey, Brennan.
Hey. First of all, I just want to say that I'm blessed to be here. And I'm glad that everybody else showed up, because this is what Narcotics Anonymous is all about. If I was the only one here, you know, I'd just be sitting here talking to myself, and I could stay home in my room to do that. So I guess that's why we're here today, is, you know, for the traditions. And first of all, I got clean January 31st, 2000, and I had been in the program for a little while before that. I just didn't quite get it, and finally, when I was ready, and I was tired enough and was willing to get clean, you know, I started going to meetings on a regular basis, and, you know, I had enough knowledge, you know, going through the program for about 2.5 years, that I kind of knew what to do. Like, the first meeting I came back to, I got a sponsor, you know, the first person I saw, and, you know, started, was really kind of adamant to start working steps and trying to get involved, because I'd been around long enough to see that the people that were participating in the meetings were the ones that had this type of, I don't know what you would call it, probably just like spiritual anonymity. They were staying clean, and they had a sense of peace to them that, you know, I was trying to find through the drugs for a long time. And, you know, when I started going to meetings and working a few steps, I started noticing, like, how the meetings were set up, like, the dynamics, and like most things in recovery, the only way I really learned about the traditions was by violating them. And my first experience with that would probably be the first tradition, because, you know, naturally, just through my addiction and the type of person I am, I naturally isolate and just have a hard time interacting with people in general. And I was brought up pretty quickly, you know, just through my desperation of trying to stay clean and all that, that I needed to, you know, I needed to participate, and I needed to be part of Narcotics Anonymous to stay clean. So honestly, I believe that was the first tradition for me, was that the only way, you know, like it says, personal recovery depends on NA unity. So the only way I can stay clean is by making sure that my group, my area, is supported by me. You know what I mean? That so that means I have to get involved. Like, I have to be a part of service. I have to show up to meetings, make coffee, take the newcomer to a meeting, vote on an area level, regional level, whatever. Just do whatever I could to make sure that the bond of that, just to make sure that I had a meeting to go to. You know what I mean? So just through going through that, you know, I started to get a service position at a few meetings, and one of them was I was a treasurer. And I had, like, 4 months clean, I think. I was a treasurer at my home group on Monday night in Sterling, Virginia. And this is the first time that I started interacting with the second tradition. I was in charge of, you know, taking the money and buying literature and all that shit. And I found out that I had no authority pretty quickly. You know, I was kind of using the seventh tradition as my own personal bank account. And, you know, I would get the money from the meeting and, you know, go out to dinner afterwards and, you know, spend the money on dinner or whatever. That came naturally through, you know, the type of lifestyle I lived before I got clean. So it was quickly... It was quickly brought to my attention that that I'm just a trusted servant, that, you know, that I really had no place or authority to be taking people's money or to be, and or to, you know, use this to my for my personal affairs. So I paid it back, and, you know, actually later on I started chairing that meeting. And trying to keep in mind the second tradition, you know, that I have no authority, that I'm just part of the group conscience. And, you know, there would be people coming in late, or my leaders wouldn't show up, or, you know, someone would start cross-talking or whatever. And I almost took that on as like a personal, you know, as a personal assault, or, you know, so I started stopping people in the middle of their share, or, you know, it got a little ridiculous. But my sponsor came up to me one day, and he was just, you know, we actually had to go through and work. We actually started going through this and working the first three traditions, just because, honestly, I had no way of interacting with society. Like this, on the traditions to me, is how, you know, the 12 steps. I work and I try and live to the best of my ability to, you know, be all right with me and, you know, stay clean or whatever. But the traditions for me are how I deal with the outside world. And that, not only does that mean like the group as a whole, or it just means, you know, society in general. And so, like it says, you know, it's only through time that I kind of gained a conception of this. So I guess that's, you know, I feel that the first two traditions are pretty self-explanatory, that, you know, there's really no way that you can interpret them without, you know, finding loopholes or whatever. But the third tradition, I feel, is probably the most important. That's in my opinion, it's the most important for me. Because when I got clean, I was 17 years old, and I came in, I saw a lot of people that were like twice my age, and, you know, at first, I had, you know, I came in, the reason why I got clean and the reason why I stayed here was because I could identify with the feelings and the struggles and all that that were going through people, but I kept an outside, you know, I kept comparing out. Being like, you know, this person may be 40 years old and had done different drugs than I have, and, you know, had a wife and, you know, all this other. I kept trying to, you know, bury myself from all these people. And in a sense, it almost, you know, I almost went back out because of it. And, you know, once again, you know, my sponsor came to me, and he pointed out that, you know, no matter what type of lifestyle you lived, or what type of, you know, how old you are, what type of drugs you've done, you know, you're here for a reason. I mean, it even says it in the first page, or first few pages of the basic text, you know, that we're here because we faced a spiritual dilemma. That wasn't because, you know, we lost our car, or, you know, we got fired from our job. Is because essentially, you know, at the end, we were all spiritually bankrupt, and we had nowhere else. We've exhausted all other resources. And this concept really kind of kept me here, because honestly, if I had come in here and I had seen all the things that I saw, like I saw all the different types of people and the different types of lifestyles that they led, and wasn't pointed out that, you know, I'm here because I have an addiction. You know, it would have been really easy for me to kind of just glance over that and, you know, end up leaving. So it's, I don't know. I don't really have too much to say about the traditions, because they're really just kind of printed out there, black and white, and they're here for a reason, you know what I mean? It keeps, like I said, it's a guideline that keeps us together, the ties that bind us together. So, that's it. Thanks.
Thank you for sharing, Brendan.
Yeah. The next speaker here I'd like to welcome, and her name is April.
I'm a recovering addict. My name is April. It's a policy that I read the speaker portion of the statement. Any member chosen to speak at a meeting needs to be someone who is working and living in a program of recovery, which are the 12 steps and 12 traditions in areas where there is not an abundance of NA members with substantial clean time or experience with the 12 steps and 12 traditions. There is a possibility that a group inexperienced in Narcotics Anonymous may misunderstand NA traditions and invite speakers from outside the NA fellowship. There are several ways to avoid this situation. Our basic text, for instance, reminds us that NA members from other areas are willing to drive long distance to support new groups. The speaker helps fulfill the group's primary purpose in carrying a message of recovery to the addict who still suffers. When speaking at an NA meeting, we should be careful to deliver a clear message of recovery by identifying ourselves as addicts recovering from the disease of addiction. It is not necessary to dwell excessively on the act of addiction or war stories. We all know what it's like to use. We came to Narcotics Anonymous to stop using, and we're here to share experience, strength, and hope of recovery. I'm an addict, and my name is April. And I want to thank the God of my understanding for the honor and the privilege to be here and to try my best to share on these first three traditions. And I want to, like, say that, like, when we read in our pre-ams, it says that understanding these traditions come slowly over a period of time. And we pick up information as we visit various groups, like I read. But in order for me, for this addict, right, to, like, even think about doing any traditions or anything to that nature, I had to learn how to, like, get with some steps first. I had to learn how to get with me before I can get with you. Because our steps talk about, and our traditions talk about, right, getting with each other in a relationship. And how can I get unity if I don't have something in me to give to you? So, as a result, right, I had to do some step work and get some understanding. And it was nice, like, in the beginning that, like, once I got clean and came out of the recovery house or wherever it was I was at in the facility, right, that they suggested that I do some things. And the things that they suggested I do was, like, to get a sponsor, get a home group, and get in service. And they said it in just that order. I need a sponsor to help me, right, to know what I was saying and what I was doing. And it's not really, and I don't want to, like, share off of what the gentleman shared, because he shared his experience, and his experience is his experience, you know. And but, like, my experience was that when I got here in 1992, that, like, they said that, like, I didn't have to learn the traditions by breaking them. But as long as I had a God of my understanding in my life, right, and had some faith and some trust, right, that some unity would come in there somewheres, right? So, like, I'm just going to, like, elaborate on a few things, right, that I was reading here, because, like, I'm really not the speaker, right? I'm supposed to be working, right, and trying to enjoy the day, enjoy the convention. But, like, when anyone asks me to do anything for Narcotics Anonymous, I am more than glad to do it. You know, Narcotics Anonymous has saved my life. And, like, you know, the first tradition talks about our common welfare should come first, personal recovery depends on NA unity. And in the second paragraph it says, it wasn't until I came to Narcotics Anonymous that recovery came possible. And in order for me to recover, right, I had to do some things, right? You know, unity is a must in this process for me. You know, I need to, like, be able to, like, know that regardless of what you're here for, right, that you can the doors are open, and regardless of what the purpose of you being in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous or being in recovery, because we're all here for different reasons. And, like, regardless of what you're here for, it doesn't matter what color you are, if you can green, you purple, you look like Barney, don't really matter. But only thing we want to do for you is to ask you how we can help. You know, there are some people that don't believe this thing works. You know, and in this process, it does work. You know, and when you get in service, right, if you really want to find out who you are and you really want to change, getting in service will help you to find your niche in life. because he shared that he's an isolator. When you start to, like, surround yourself, when I surround myself with people that are just like me, that have the common good of this thing, right, I get to be able to, like, reach out to people and talk to people and allow people to know who I am. Because, see, we're not mind readers up in this camp. You know, you just, I mean, if somebody knows you very well, like some people that know me, that know when I'm isolating, because I can be in a convention just like this before with 5,000 people, and I can isolate. And if you don't know me, you would never know that I was isolating. You'd only think that there's something going on. Now, I really don't want to be bothered with you, because I really don't like people. Why I don't like people? Because I really don't like myself on a lot of given days. So, like, in order for me to do anything, and the way that my sponsor is working me is, like, I work one step with one tradition with one concept. Because we have 36 spiritual principles. I don't get that wrong at any given time, you know. And we unify ourselves by doing things like getting in service, starting with the home group, learning to, like, find out where we want to go in service. You know, because it's nice to be in service in your home group, to be the chairperson, the coffee maker. You know, they say the ABCs, ashtrays, brooms, and things like that. You know, and yeah, you know that. You know, and now we don't have a lot of smoking meetings in Philadelphia. You know, really, we don't have any. But as a result, right, I lost my train of thought, what I was getting ready to say. It must not have been that important. The second tradition talks about, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God that may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trust and service, they do not govern. You know, I really wish there was some controversial traditions that they asked me to share on instead of the real easy ones that give me a hard time and I get stuck with. You know, because, like, I like controversy. You know, because I stay in service so much. You know, I just resigned from a position as an RCM, right? You know, because I really just couldn't take my area anymore, and my region is, like, really off the chain. And, like, you know, this tradition is so loving and caring that sometimes we have a tendency of not actually seeing it for what it is. Now, like, they put this convention on, right? You got all these subcommittees, and you got all these Indians, and you got all these chiefs, and everybody want to be the boss. But the bottom line is that, like, God going to have the last say so. You know, like, with our convention this year, Philadelphia's convention, there is so much controversy going on. There is so many, you know, I. And this is not a program of I. This is a program of we. We do together what we can't do apart or what we can't do alone. You know, and, like, they argue all year long about what's going to happen at a convention or what's going to happen at a function, right? But the bottom line, when it comes to, right, like, because at our convention thingy that they doing, right, I had a problem because they only had two reps, right? And how can you have a true conscience decision and a decision-making process if you only have two people that are voting? And that's not a true conscience for me. You know, and I felt as though that, like, that they needed to, like, take it to another body to make some decisions until they got enough reps to do some things, right? And they didn't feel as though that it was right. We were going to go ahead and do it on our own. And to come to find out that there was somebody that was voting that didn't have the conscience of their area to even be there. But nevertheless, the process needed to go on, right? And now, it'll take them all year to do fundraisers and all the things that they do to prepare for a convention, right? And the bottom line, after all the backbiting and all the cussing each other out and all the amends that they have to make during this process of having these meetings to put this convention on, at the end, the product that God thrust together, which is what we're doing this weekend, right, will be loving and caring and joyful. You know, no one person can represent Narcotics Anonymous. You know, God is mentioned before we open a meeting, during the course of a meeting, you hear the word God, and after the meeting, at the end, in the circle. So God is always in the midst of the storm or the midst of anything that we do here in Narcotics Anonymous. You know, and we are but trusting servants. You know, only thing that we do here is, right, like you have, what y'all call them, the hug squad, the greeters, you know, or whatever, right? They're there for a reason. You know, a lot of times, they're not always newcomers. Sometimes it's the old-timer that wants to greet somebody. You understand what I'm saying? You know, then you have the people that's running around like they're crazy. They're the cheer people. And you understand what I'm saying? All of this, right, it's just a trust. They don't get paid for doing this. They don't get paid. No mind. But the reward at the end that I see for me, right, is that I get a chance to see what I need to change about me, what I need to get better with me, what I see in someone else and someone's defects or someone else's flaws that I need to get better with me. It ain't about, you know, looking down on anyone. But when you got thousands of addicts with different personalities, you know, not just the women with the PMS. I'm talking about addicts with different personalities. It gives me a chance to say, April, maybe you just want to stop. Or why she got to have that on? Why she got to look like that? Maybe if you look in the mirror and say, oh, am I hating because I don't look like that? Am I hating because I can't do what they're doing? You know, so... for a lot of different reasons, right, a trusting servant is someone that God feels as though needs to be doing something at that particular time. Because my thing was, and I need to get honest with it, right, is like, you got all these stars and celebrities in an anonymous program. Everybody want to be a heavy hitter. Everybody want to be this. And I was like, damn. I got a message to give. And then they come up with this bullshit. April, you want to share on traditions 1, 2, and 3? I got some drama to give. I can share on parenting and recovery real good. I can share on resentments real good. You know, but that's not how God had a plan. God said, you a service junkie. You know, so, but I mean, really, for real, I would like to fell deeper into traditions and share some good shit that I can really, like, get with. But, once again, God got the first and the last say-so, you know. And the last tradition is the third tradition, and it says the only requirement for membership is the desire to stop using. It ain't no big deal about nothing. When you walk in that door, I truly believe in my heart, for whatever reason, you have a desire. How strong is your desire to stop? That's a decision only you can make. I can't measure your desire. I can't measure my son's desire as much as I really want to. And I can say, he don't have a desire. But I don't know that. I know he tried. I know that by the grace of God, I am a one-time winner in this thing called recovery. I've been here for 13 years, and I have not had a rhyme or reason to want to leave. I came in the doors out of utter desperation. I didn't know nothing about nothing. So today when I see a newcomer come in, it's a joy. It's an honor to see a baby walk in the door, right, that don't have a clue of why they here, what they want to be here for, and why I got to come because the court said so. You know, sometimes we have to have certain things or certain people to send us where we too dumb to go on our own. You know, I got here at the age of 36. I just turned 50 today, and I look good and feel like hell. Because I'm aching my bones. You know what I'm saying? But regardless, I stayed. I stayed. I have a desire to want to, like, be here for that baby to come through that door. I have a desire to, like, say, you know what? No matter what, you no longer have to live the way you lived. I have a desire to want to be there for anybody. It doesn't matter whether I like you or don't like you. Those are the ones that I help the most, the ones I don't like. Whatever your desire is. And I'm not going to say, like, remember your last run. You know, somebody got me in touch with something else. Remember the feeling you had on your last run. That the way that you felt. Allow that to keep you here. Because, you know what? Even with arthritis and all the other ailments that I have, right? I don't have a desire to use. I don't have a desire to use. My desire was lifted when? I don't know. I prayed and I asked the God of my understanding to remove it, and he removed it. You know, so unity is something that, unification is something that we have in all our steps, all our traditions, and in our concepts. You know, without unity, without a God of our understanding, nothing can get done. This couldn't be put together unless God was in the midst of something in here somewheres. Because if it was left up to our own devices, we'd be cutting each other, shooting each other. Look, it just wouldn't work. So when they built this thing for us, they put the steps and the traditions in order for a reason. And they are the guidelines to keep our fellowship alive and free. You know, for whatever reason that you're here, stay. It's just not that bad. Only thing you got to do is look at you. You know, there's nobody else the problem but me. I am the beginning and the end of anything that I do or any decisions that I make. I don't make good decisions, so I ask my sponsor. I want to thank this committee for asking me to share on these three traditions. I don't have too much more to give. I could go a lot of different places with it, you know, but I just wanted to keep it as simple as possible. You know, because, like, if sometimes we have a tendency to take things to some different places and, like, throw newcomers off and, you know, because on any given day I can be a newcomer myself, you know, because I'm still learning. You know, I'm still a baby in training, and I'm going to leave it just like that. You know, thanks for allowing me to share.
Thanks for sharing.